sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith. Oh, he caught it! Smith! Touchdown, 85 yards, Iowa! C.J. Beathard!
What could have been? That was just the one of the best moments ever in Iowa football. Unfortunately, it was in a losing effort, but man, that call by Gus Johnson in the 2015 Big Ten championship game, C.J. Beathard going deep to Tavon Smith against Michigan State. Michigan State actually played smart after that, in that anytime we got guys get open on the play action, their D-backs were just pulling our guys down. So we just didn't materialize anything further. So anyway, I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here at Global Patriot Radio. We can be found every, most days on blogtalkradio.com. Starting Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, the Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al. And then Wednesdays with me, Hank Jones, Hank Jones Poly Sports. Normally at 6 p.m. Eastern. Going early today, long story, but basically it has to do with the fact we're leaving early tomorrow, so I wanted to get some stuff done. Wife is able to get off work early. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern to midnight, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. And that's about it. And, of course, you can interact with the show multiple ways. You can listen live, of course. Several ways you can do that. Just go into blogtalkradio.com, look for the live button, go to chatters, and you'll be able to listen that way. Or you can get your own account, go into the chat room, and interact with folks in the chat room. Or another way, you can dial in 319-527-6706. That gives you live access. If you have something to say, you hit the 1. Now, again, if I don't know who you are, or if I get, like last week, I had somebody, am I taking calls? And he was right away asking me to define class warfare. No, I'm not going to engage in that. I don't have time. You know, I got 2 hours a week. I mean, Vito has said if I want to take other days, but right thus far, I've not had the opportunity to do that a couple times, mainly because paddling has been so busy. But I'm not going to take calls from people I don't know over when I have no idea. Anyway, I'm hanging out in the official Hank Jones Poly Sports Space Force Observation Outpost. The mini Aussie is not here tonight. She was taken to boarding today. She's boarding. We're going on a trip tomorrow. She's boarding. But she was excited to go, which kind of bums me out. She was like hopping up and down and stuff. She knows. She knows she gets to play for a week, a little longer. Next week I will be out. Vito might do a show, but I'm going to be out because we are going to be on a cruise. Some friends of ours, fellow Hawkeye fans, actually, that live in the Orlando area, they are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. They wanted to do a cruise, and they wanted to invite friends. So my wife, being in the travel business, in a manner of speaking, was able to get some good cruise deals for us all. So we're flying tomorrow to Vancouver, and then we're taking off Friday and cruising up to Alaska. Kind of a dream trip for Mrs. Hank and I. Gotta say, we're quite thrilled to be able to do it, and we're looking forward to it. Well, today's first internet laughy is from the Babylon Bee, of course. That's actually funny. Zelensky passes offering plate at UN speech. And the second one, also from Babylon Bee, Lauren Boebert attempts to smooth things over with new line of purity rings. Oh, my God. You know, only in today's media can, or I shouldn't say today, only in today's big media, big left, would you have, I mean, Hunter Biden, and Vito has confirmed this for me, Hunter Biden, part of on the laptop from hell, Hunter Biden getting it on with young girls while he's married and supposedly addicted to drugs at the time and whatnot. They tried to hide that. But Lauren Boebert, now think about it. She's in a dark theater, but somehow they have light on her. In other words, somebody used laser or some sort of light to be able to focus on her making out with some guy. who she says now she's ended it with already because it turns out he's a Democrat, blah, blah, blah. Look, Lauren Boebert's not uber hot or anything. She's reasonably attractive from the neck down. I don't think she has the prettiest face at all. Reasonably attractive from the neck down. She looked pretty good in that photo and whatnot. But really, we're really going after that, the fact she got kicked out of a thing for vaping and talking. She was watching Beetlejuice. It sucks, probably. That's probably why she got kicked out, but only in this friggin' environment that we have today are we seeing this kind of thing. It's really repulsive almost. So let's get to the obits for the week. Nothing really major. Fred Lewis was the keyboarder or percussionist for the group Lakeside. They did that song, Come Along, Fantastic Voyage. That song. He played on that song. He was 72. God, that's kind of weird. I didn't think anybody would do a song like that when he lived to be 72. Last Wednesday, we lost Roger Whittaker. Durham Town. He did the song Durham Town. He wrote a couple other songs. He did a version of Wind Beneath My Wings. It got people all goo-goo-ga-ga over it. So, whatever. Roger Whittaker. He's pretty cool. I mean, my brother liked him. Brother Tommy was a fan. Brother Tommy, I remember, would listen to him. Had, you know, like cassettes or whatever we had way back in the day. Billy Miller, American actor, Young and the Restless, General Hospital, All My Children, Suicide. 43 years old, Suicide. Really? Come on, people. I guess, you know, he just goes to show, you know, you never know and all that stuff. But come on. Suicide. Very sad. Very sad. You know what? A lot of them really not. John Marshall, the English drummer, 82 years old. He played with Soft Machine. They did, that was Soft Cell that did Naked, Soft Cell, you know, they did the take off, the redo of Runaway and the other one, Baby, Where Did Our Love Grow, whatever it was called. He was 82. Gosh, people are getting old. Iris Grinstead, R&B group, she's 43. She'd been suffering from some, they said she'd been suffering some health challenges for a while. Yeah, who else? There was some, there's nothing really jumping out, but I had to mention this one, 90-year-old English footballer named Arthur Longbottom. You got to love a name like that. You really do. Let's see, who else? Gosh, nobody really, you know, it goes like that. But nobody is really jumping out here. Buddy Tevens, former Dartmouth football coach. He's in a traffic collision last March. He was on a bike, I guess, and got hit by a truck. And he'd actually had his leg amputated. He had other stuff, but evidently just complications. I mean, here we are September, and he passed away yesterday. 66 years old, very sad. Very well loved by his team, his players, and his staff. Joanne Epps, American legal scholar. She was a president of Temple University, appointed this year. 72 years old. Evidently, she was at a ceremony, a memorial service for another Temple dignitary, and just slumped over, collapsed they took her to the hospital and unfortunately did not survive. And that's really frightening when that, I mean, I know she was 72, but you know, during a ceremony like that, Mike just messaged me. that call that I played the beginning, that Bethard to Smith. Yeah. He said, I was pretty bad at pretty much, like all of us, it was that game just broke our heart. Phil Sellers, former Detroit Piston player, he passed away of a stroke today, 69. Ruth Fuchs represented East Germany in the Olympics. She was winning the gold medal winner in the women's javelin 1972 at Munich and 1976 at Montreal, set the world record six times during the 70s. That was back when East Germans and Russians could sort of like be men and have a crank and whatnot, and they'd juice them up and whatnot. But so that's it this week for our losses. Kind of weird in that there weren't a lot. So don't forget my friends at Alliance Communications, Central Florida's 24-hour call center and answering service, messaging and call center services for your medical clinic, hospital clinic, info gathering services, government agencies, service companies, large or small. Remember, a lot of offices never went back after COVID, after the pandemic. I mean, one, you had companies that said, you know what, we got along fine without it. We don't need to pay this rent anymore. Rents weren't getting any cheaper and still aren't. So, hey, you know, remotely, and you still need a front line when that happens. Kind of hard to have somebody working remotely as your front line full time. So, gosh, I'm getting all these notices on my phone. Oh, lightning in the area. Well, I don't care about lightning anymore right now. So, yeah. I only have one. I said it was going to be all football, but I have one item today that I want to talk about, one story regarding President Trump. So he is not going to take part in the third debate. The second GOP presidential debate. He will not be attending again. Mike's messaging me. I'm sorry, Mike. Yes, I did. Okay. So what he is going to do, remember the first one, he was interviewed by Tucker Carlson on Twitter, whatever it's called, X, whatever it's called now. He was interviewed. This time he will head to Michigan to address UAW workers who are currently on strike. Now, as a side note, don't be surprised if the strike is resolved the day before the debate / President Trump's visit. Here's the thing, though, about this. In 2008, 2009, when both Chrysler and GM were dangerously close to bankruptcy, they were talking about TARP and all that, President Obama negotiated, I use air quotes, against bankruptcy law, by the way, negotiated a deal that all but screwed the bondholders, most common stockholders. Instead, the UAW ended up with ownership of Chrysler that amounted to about 65% and ownership of GM that ended up reaching almost 20%. Now, the UAW sold off a lot of that stock to new investors. As I said, old investors got royally screwed. Now they hold about $5 billion in stocks or trusts that supposedly benefit healthcare and retirement funding for UAW workers. They now own about 7.25% of GM, their medical trust, I think it's called. So they benefited from an illegally negotiated bankruptcy negotiation. Remember, they were literally on the verge of bankruptcy. What would bankruptcy have done? Well, first of all, it would have voided any union contracts. So President Obama intervened. He had no authority to do so. But, you know, it was the fear, the too big to fail fear. Figured, well, just get something done. They shouldn't have. Of course they shouldn't have. They should have let them go into bankruptcy. Void the union contracts. Sorry. Happens every day. You know, there were United Airlines pilots that literally lost everything, the retirement and stuff, when United went bankrupt. Nobody worried about them. So they benefited from an illegally negotiated bankruptcy, sold off much of what they owned, have billions in assets, including stock, but they're on strike. Why? Who knows? T-Mobile's not letting me re-answer Mike's thing, so whatever. Whatever, T-Mobile. So they're on strike. Please explain that to me. By the way, their initial demand would amount to costs totaling about $80 billion cumulatively for the big three over the next 4 years. Explain that. Meanwhile, one model, the Ford Maverick truck, was supposed to be entry level at about $20,000. Trust me, you cannot find one for less than about $28,000. Having test driven it, I'm going to call that one a hard pass. But anyway, I think it's brilliant. You know, I did not agree with Mike and Sue on the first debate. I thought he should have gone, you know, as they said, it sets up precedent. You know, some people said it sets up precedent for Dopey Joe not to debate in the general. But as we've been, Brother Tommy and Indy Hawk and T. Bodie and Mike and I have been burning up the text today, everybody's saying, Dopey Joe is not going to be the candidate next year. Going on, I'm seeing things, you know, I'm seeing stuff news that some people are death is imminent for Dopey Joe. I don't know about that, mainly because it may have already happened. But who knows, you know, that they say that, you know, O'Reilly was on Hannity's show talking about it. They now, so one person, I think it might have been Michael Savage. I'm not sure. Brother Tommy and I were talking about it today. One person says it's going to be Michelle. O'Reilly thinks could be Michelle, could be Gavin Gruesom Newsom. I don't know, but they think Biden's toast. Now, what's happened, and Mike has talked about this, internal polling from the Dems shows Biden losing. And the Dems are in a panic. You know, all this time that we've been talking about poll numbers, Dopey Joe hasn't been doing that badly. He's doing terribly now. Terribly. You know, whether it sets a precedent or not, Dopey Joe's not going to, if Dopey Joe's the candidate, he's not going to debate. They're going to figure a way around it. There's no way he can. I mean, this dude is just a mess. If you've seen him, I mean, every day. Now, look, again, this is just as bad from what I would call conservative media. I'm not saying leave him alone. He's a complete mush brain at this point. But at a certain point, God, I mean, you know. So, in fact, somebody tweeted, they have a thing saying Trump couldn't stretch like this. They show Dopey Joe stretching, I guess. It's like Trump couldn't stretch like this. It's like, really? We're now talking about how well Dopey Joe can stretch? Really? So anyway, President Trump is not going to the second debate. He is going to go to Michigan instead and address the UAW. Now, UAW management, not rank and file, but management is saying, he's not welcome here. He's, you know, he screwed us. Never. He never has, but they're saying that. But then he made an interesting comment to Dopey Joe, which was, Mr. President, when you make promises, please keep them. Interesting. But yeah, the UAW, the management will never come out. You know, in fact, one of Biden's campaign people said that Trump's policies favor the rich. But he likes somebody. We're now 3 years into Dopey Joe's presidency, and there's no evidence that Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or other mega rich multi-billionaires are paying more in taxes, as Dopey Joe said. So Dave Green, UAW's Dave Green, questions Trump's credibility with organized labor. He says it visits aims to gain votes and sow division. Huh? And then he did say, though, we just want the president to know if you're going to make promises, you got to keep them. President Trump said something that's very on point. With all this electric car stuff, production is getting shifted to China. Not just for parts and chips, et cetera, but just production itself, labor. You know, Ford, like I said, Ford got that $9 billion or whatever it was recently and then laid off a bunch of people. It's up as much as 2,000 people now. I mean, it's just, it doesn't work. So let's get to football. I said this was going to be about all football. It pretty much is now from here on out. So let's talk national first on the national scene. Colorado. Colorado's obviously a story. Now, their big win over TCU in week one, won, I think, by 3, is a good win. TCU defending runner-up, national championship runner-up. Of course, they got smoked by Georgia in that game, but still, you know, they did beat them at TCU. So TCU went in and whooped Houston last weekend, which they what did they do week two? Week two TCU beat Nicholls State. Okay, so no big deal, but they beat Houston last week. So Nebraska was their second win. Nebraska, well, they didn't do too well in week two, in week one, I mean, losing to Minnesota. They didn't obviously do well in week two against Colorado. Week three, they beat Northern Illinois. Big deal. Northern Illinois is not a good team. So Colorado State, so they beat last week. And there was some talk there. There was some Jay Norvell, former Hawkeye, by the way. His last year was my last semester there. Jay Norvell made some talk. He's 0-2 right now. But he made some talk about Dion wearing sunglasses and everything. And he said, when I was growing up, I spoke to people, took my sunglasses off, looked people in the eye, etc. So Colorado State was up most of the game, and they ended up losing in double overtime. Week one, they lost to Washington State 50-24. So, yeah, Colorado has not played any powerhouses yet. Let's make no mistake. But it's quite obvious that they are they're here. They're here to stay right now, I think. They're for real. Now, look, they've still got to play a full Pac-12 schedule. So let's take a look at what that looks like, because, you know, yeah, they got Colorado State, they got Nebraska, and they got TCU, and TCU looks to be pretty good. Let's see what Colorado's got coming up. Well, this week they go to Oregon, number 10 Oregon. So yeah, I'm not sure. Colorado's number 19. I'm not sure that's not going to get away. Oregon looks to be pretty darn tough. They're a scoring machine again. The next week after that, it's a home game against USC. Then they go to Arizona State and host Stanford, both of whom are not doing well. And then on the 28th of October, they go to UCLA. The week after that, they host Oregon State. And they've got to go to Washington State, and they've got to go to Utah. Washington State, by the way, looks like the real deal. You know, they've handled everybody pretty easily. So that's what's up with Colorado. Do I think they're a good team? Yeah, I think Dion's the difference. And, you know, by all accounts, Dion, yes, he's flamboyant, and Dion's the, you know, loud. But Dion is a good guy. He's a good man. He's a committed Christian. He's talked about in the past. He did the bounce from woman to woman, bounce from this to that, bounce from, you know, the next big thing, even bouncing teams, you know, bouncing baseball and football and all that. But he said it all had meaning once he found Christ, once he established a relationship with Christ. So, you know, you got to Dion is he's making a difference so far. You know, like I said, he's got some tough games. But, you know, who can say what he's, you know. Now, as far as the rest of the Pac-12, Washington went into Michigan State and absolutely beat the crap out of them. Michael Penix Jr., former Indiana quarterback. Four TDs, 473 yards. They just basically bitch slapped Michigan State. Now, I'm going to talk about Michigan State in the Big Ten portion. But, yeah, they just went into East Lansing and just absolutely bitch slapped them. Utah, undefeated. Oregon, undefeated. And they beat up on Hawaii, 55-10. I mean, they're, you know, Oregon is not laying down. They're a scoring machine right now. Bo Nix, what's he, about a 12th year? He's a former Oregon, a former Auburn quarterback, which is in a way funny because Auburn had a guy years ago, Stan White, who I swear to God must have played for 26 years at Auburn. So, yeah, Oregon State beat up on San Diego State, who has not had a bad season. Colorado talked about Washington State, 64-21 over Northern Colorado. UCLA, North Carolina Central, but UCLA is undefeated. Cal is 2-1. Stanford is 1-2. Arizona State is 1-2. Arizona State lost to Fresno State, who, by the way, is undefeated. Fresno State beat Purdue, and Arizona beat UTEP. So Pac-12 looks strong this season. So they're going out with a bang, which is funny, the way we talked about the Big 12 last year, like this sad conference. Now they're gaining some of these teams. They're gaining Colorado. They're gaining the Arizona schools. They're gaining Utah, I guess. So, yeah, you know, Big 12 is getting a pretty good deal out of that. So the Pac-12 is basically lighting it up. Moving on. Let's talk about Alabama. Now, Alabama had that loss, 10-point loss to Texas. And it was never really close. They were never really in that game by all accounts. If you look at the game and how the game transpired, they were never really in it. They did take a lead in the third quarter for all of about a minute. And then from there on, they just, you know, they got within three. But basically, they just did not look good. And so last week, they played South Florida. And newsflash, that did not go as a blowout. You would have thought that they would have just feasted on them. Absolutely, I'm having a stupid thing on my computer right now, so that's why I'm sounding kind of weird. Okay, I got it to stop. So, yeah, they went into they played South Florida last week. South Florida is 1-2. They played at South Florida, so you can say, okay, they had to go to Tampa, but they've done worse. They've done harder things. South Florida has lost to Western Kentucky and beat Florida A&M. So South Florida's not a good team. They're a very average team at best. But they went in there and didn't exactly tear it up. They were lucky to get out of there with a 14-point win, 17-3. Here's the thing. That game was tied at half, 3-3. Touchdown in the third quarter with about 4 minutes left, and then 33 seconds left, another touchdown. So Alabama is very pedestrian. Now, they switched quarterbacks last week, and that didn't go well. They were starting a guy named Jalen Milroe and went with, Tyler Buckner, a Notre Dame transfer, who transferred with Tommy Rees, who is their new offensive coordinator. So they went with Tyler Buckner, and then Ty Simpson came on in relief. Their quarterback ratings, respectively, 21.5 for Ty Simpson, 15.2 for Tyler Buckner. They're talking about their pass protection is very mediocre. And here's where I'm getting to with that. So I looked up Caden Proctor. Caden Proctor, you'll remember, was an Iowa commit all the way through until days before signing day. He used the excuse, well, he had a bad visit, bad in-home visit. And he said Alabama didn't offer him anymore. He just didn't want to go to Iowa and be the top dog from the beginning, come in and be the best player. He wanted to have to work for it at Alabama. I got news for you, folks. Caden Proctor wouldn't be starting at Iowa right now, number one. Number two, he's given up more sacks than anybody on their offensive line. He gave up 3 last week against South Florida. He's given up more sacks than anybody on their offensive line, which has given up a lot. Now, they're talking, you know, oh, he's going to be a good one. He's working hard on it. But here we were talking, lamenting this loss, and he is starting right away. What does that tell you? I'll tell you what it tells you. They came after him hard. And no matter what he says, I'm sure they jacked up his NIL. They pretty much had no choice. Because you know why? He's their starter. They didn't have anyone left. They just did not have anyone left. So they had to go after Caden Proctor. But yeah, I hate to say it, it warms my heart. I don't want the guy to get injured. But if he fails, I don't care. I won't be upset in the least. But I know I don't want him to. I mean, people that say I want him to get injured, or other people that say I want him to, you know, things don't work out, he'll transfer back to Iowa. No, he won't. The only way that happens is if Alabama cuts him loose. Now, could they? Sure. They could run him off. They could recruit over him. Happens all the time. But as parents are obviously mercenary. But guess what? People in the Iowa camp said at the time, you know, we don't want to burn bridges. Don't get on there, folks, and badmouth him and all that on social media. I think that was lip service. I think if he wanted to come to Iowa next year, I have a strong feeling that he would not be, that they wouldn't reach out and really go after him. Oh, if he wanted to come visit and all that stuff, I'm sure they'd listen to him. But I don't think they'd go out of their way. But we're seeing that, you know, a kid who was cocky, said he didn't want to go in and be the big dog right away. He wanted to be challenged, hit in the mouth, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, hope that tastes good. Hope that tastes real good. So on to the Big Ten. Couple things going on in the Big Ten. First of all, my God, now look, Mel Tucker is involved or embroiled in some kind of controversy. They suspended him without pay, then they gave him, I guess Monday or yesterday, they notified they intend to fire him with cause. Supposedly the sex controversy. He says anything that happened was consensual. They were losing people. They lost their starting quarterback, Peyton Thorne, who left. He went to Florida Atlantic. They had other guys. There was a real purging, not a purging, it was an exodus. Dion was a purging. It was a real exodus at Michigan State. And yeah, he just, they brought in an interim. Doesn't look good for Mel Tucker, by all accounts. He's gone and will be. So they got absolutely, like I said, bitch slapped by Washington. I mean, my God. Have them come into your house 41-7. That's like the kind of stuff that used to happen to the Hawkeyes in the 60s and 70s, where they would come in and just get killed. But that's what happened to Michigan State. So I don't know. So that's interesting. Wisconsin, Northwestern, Purdue, our biggest competition. Minnesota is competition, but they showed. They got manhandled by North Carolina last Saturday, and as expected. Nobody was surprised by that. Wisconsin had a tough go against Georgia Southern. They did pull away a little bit, but it was a tough sledding, and they They lost to Washington State already. Northwestern's a mess. You know, they got crushed in week one. They had a win against UTEP in week two and then crushed at Duke. And Duke's a good team, but wow. But Purdue, too. Just don't know what's going on with them. I mean, I know it's a new coach. Tyrone Tracy, by the way, got another touchdown, but they lost to Purdue. I mean, Purdue lost to Syracuse. Syracuse is undefeated, but, man, you know, it's not like Syracuse is, you know, Syracuse has beat Colgate, Western Michigan. By the way, Iowa beat Western Michigan by roughly the same margin as, a little less than, Syracuse did, but so Purdue, I don't know. The West, if Iowa can play semi-competent, the West is ours to win. And then lastly, Rutgers and Maryland, they both look for real. Maryland had a win over an 0-3 Virginia team. Now, neither one is, you know, that's not the best indicator. But Rutgers as well is also undefeated and had a good win over Virginia Tech. Again, a 1-2 Virginia Tech, who also lost Purdue. But, yeah, that's two interesting teams. So this week, some great games. Ohio State is taking on Notre Dame. Wisconsin tomorrow night, Wisconsin and Purdue is a Friday night game at Purdue. Hard to say what will happen there. Rutgers is at Michigan. That's a tough task. Illinois might have a chance to bounce back against Florida Atlantic. Michigan State, Maryland goes into Michigan State. So Maryland's probably 4-0 now. Nebraska hosting Louisiana Tech, Ohio State at Notre Dame. Going to be a great game. Another one, Iowa at Penn State. And I'll talk more about that later. And so, Notre Dame, Ohio State, that's going to be a really good game to watch. I don't know how good Notre Dame really is, but I don't know how good Ohio State really is either. They got off last week. They had a big, you know, a high-scoring game against whoever it was, Bowling Green, but yeah, I think it was Bowling Green, or maybe that's Michigan, but yeah, so it's going to be a good game. So let's move on. Let's talk to Hawkeyes. Running up on time here, but I timed it perfectly. I did time it perfectly. So several things and meter. It's out there. Iowa made that public. So, you know, the Brian meter is on. It's averaging 28.3 points per game right now, the Hawkeyes are. Some people said, you know, they ran up the score last Saturday. However, you had your second string quarterback, your fourth string or fifth string running back. So, I don't know. The linebackers, what can you say? I mean, one, we should be in cash more because between Nick Jackson and Jay Higgins, I think you've got two top guys there. Nick Jackson is adjusting to not playing in the middle. Jay Higgins is adjusting to doing that. And the linebackers just look so good. But just run with them and then go with cash and let Castro play cash. I think that's the best option. The linebackers, though, are, you know, the D line depth is great. Linebackers, I'm not as sure about, but our starters, man, okay, maybe it's not the Josie Jewell, maybe it's not the Jack Campbell level, but it's damn close. Damn closer than people think. Damn closer than people realize. We have two really, really, really good linebackers. You know, if people have talked about, again, is Jay Higgins got an extra year? I don't honestly know. I mean, I suppose it could be wrangled. I'll tell you what, he's ready to go to the NFL now. He'd be crazy, other than if he really, really wants to stay in college, if he really enjoys college. But here's something that Avid Mike sent me. A guy at University of Miami will petition the ACC and the NCAA for a ninth season of eligibility. He's been playing college football since 2016. Now, Oregon has a guy, I think, that just this for this year got a ninth year as well. You know, this would be – Jay Higgins, it would be a sixth year. Nick Jackson definitely has no more eligibility, but Jay Higgins, it would be a sixth year. I don't think he has it anyway, but even so, it would be a sixth year. I mean, he'd literally be playing with guys that – I mean, no, just don't – now, look, if it's available and he decides to come back, I'm not going to be mad. Trust me. Because I think we're going to find that he's as good as some of our other linebackers that we've had in past years. And Nick Jackson is showing out as well. He's looking – Nick Jackson's had some adjustment, but he's adjusted pretty quickly. Between those two, yeah, we've got some serious, serious linebackers. Running back depth. Running back depth is pleasing. Our third stringer got two touchdowns. Our fourth stringer got a touchdown. So running back depth looks good. Cade McNamara, I don't know. I've heard other people. It's hard for me to say. I haven't seen enough of him to say it's injury adjustment. Just don't know. Give it some time. We'll see this Saturday. And then Luke Lachey, obviously a tough loss, out for the year. It looks like out for the year. I haven't seen that official announcement, but I'm sure he is. But if he's not, great. But look, our other guys came through. One, Eric All has good. But Addison Ostrenga, Steve Stylianos, I forgot the fourth guy. But we have tight end depth, thank God. So this Saturday, we're going into Penn State. And I'm in the last minute here, folks. But we're going into Penn State. Penn State is favored by 15. The over-under is 40. Don't be shocked if we don't hit the over on this, even though it's Iowa-Penn State. Don't be shocked. But no way is Penn State covering 15. I'm sorry. I don't see it. Penn State is not going to cover 15. Our O-line looks better. The running game maybe needs some needs a push, but basically looks good. But no, Penn State's not going to cover 15. I'm not a gambler. I'm not advocating. But meanwhile, okay, folks, as I said before, I am not here next week. Vito is in if he decides to do the show, so keep a watch on that. In the meantime, I'm going on a cruise. Y'all have a great weekend, a great week. Go Hawks. Go Hawkeyes.
Play fake. Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith. Oh, he caught it! Smith! Touchdown, 85 yards! Iowa! C.J. Beathard!
Good night, folks. Thanks, Indy, for being here. Thanks, Mike and Big Sister, for listening in. Y'all have a great one. God bless.